Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
Live.
Hour four, get him up.
You are looking live at the Fox Sports Radio studios. Right now, Major League Baseball, we could be seeing the NL West get a little tighter. Lead the Diamondbacks 5-3, going to the eighth inning. Meanwhile, bottom of the seventh, Padres holding on against the Giants 7-5. Remember, it's a big deal because for either the Dodgers or the Giants, you're in a one-game playoff where you don't want to be. So again, Dodgers are up by two. The Giants are chasing to both games, now headed to the top of the eighth inning. Now, before we get to a big story out of the NFL, we're really going to test the NFL's popularity tomorrow night, aren't we? You know, I mentioned this earlier in the show. Today's a really weird day for me because today is the 10th anniversary of my last show on All Night before I left for adventures at NFL Network and DirecTV, and now my last seven and a half years here with you on Fox. You know, something I got reminded of on Facebook earlier today when I say, oh man, it's coming up, it's coming up. And today I spent a lot of time thinking about certain things from that last show, and oh yeah, this happened, this was kind of fun, and this was here. You know, I talked about, you know, Beano, you know, being my only guest on the last show, Beano Cook, who I miss every single day. And you know, there's one thing that I don't think I've ever told this story on the air either, but one thing that just illustrates the power of radio, right? How could you not be romantic about radio, right? You hear this all the time, the power of radio. And when I left, when I finished my last show, I remember stopping and I took the headphones off and I was really emotional. And I was like, that's it. That could be my last radio show. Something I've wanted to do my entire life. I just did it at a high level for 7 years, and that might be it. I mean, I was going to NFL Network, and I was excited to go do it. My first show was Sunday, so it's not like I had a whole bunch of time off. It's like, Thursday night, your last show. Yeah, we'll see you Sunday. It was like I was done, and I'm not lying to you. I was done on All Night at 2 a.m. on Thursday, Friday morning, and I was in an 8 a.m. rundown meeting on Friday for Sunday. I mean, that's what it was. It was like no rest. Like, no, I'm going to go celebrate. No. But the one
you were thing, you were moderately hungover and stinking of cheese next morning, though.
No, I was probably stinking of cheese. That was definite. Because when I got home, my wife was up waiting up for me. I mean, she was emotional. She was crying. I was crying. It was just a weird thing. But you know, I never told this story. Is that I come down after the show, and I do the show by myself in the studio. I did it by myself in the studio. My producers were all in Connecticut, and I come downstairs, and the security guard is there that I see him every night. I go, hey, he goes, hey, is something going on tonight? And I said, why? What's the matter? And he said, because there's a bunch of people who tried to get in. I couldn't get in. I couldn't let in. Like, and they said they were looking for you. And I said, well, tonight's my last show. He goes, yeah, but I couldn't let him in. And, you know, they were leaving. And I was like, oh, wow, that was pretty cool. He goes, and, you know, there was one guy here who sat here for like 2 hours. And he left like 45 minutes ago. He couldn't stay anymore. And I said, why? He goes, he wanted to see you. But he worked in the building. And so I let him stay. I was like, oh, okay, that's it. I didn't want you to throw a guy out in the building. I'm like, oh, my God, really? He was here to see me. And I'm like, and I don't know how to handle this. I'm like, oh my God, that's okay. He goes, and he couldn't stay. He had to go, but he left his business card because he just wanted you to know that he was here. And I was like, oh, really? So I see his business card and I go, I'm going to call this guy on the way home. So I got in the car. I made sure I got in the freeway and I, you know, dial in the number and he answered the phone. He goes, hello? Like, who's calling me, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning,
sure.
Right? Who's calling 2 o'clock? I go, well, you waited 2.5 hours for me. The least I could do was call you on the way home. He goes, oh my God, Jason, oh, I work up here and this. And I talked for about 20 minutes on the way home with the guy. Just, you know, I listened to the show and all this. And I thought, you know,
who was he working in the building? What did he do?
He's a lawyer. He's a lawyer, right?
Is he now your lawyer?
See, I had him on retainer now for the last 10 years, and every time I need help. He did say, if you ever need a lawyer, let me know. I'm like, okay, hopefully I don't. But if I do, I'll give you a call. And I thought that that was really, I had the end of the show, and then I kind of had to, the end, like the anticlimax. Like, it's over, but then there's a Marvel stinger, at the end that sets up the next thing. And I just called him all my way. I talked to him on my way home. We just talked about sports and the show and everything, And I got home. I told my wife, and I said, "You're not going to believe what I just did." I was just on the phone with a listener guy. Listened to the show. We worked in the building the whole time. She says, "You're kidding?" I go, "No, I called him. I talked to him for a while." And that was how I did. Because usually it was, on my way home, it was such a weird phenomenon for the longest time. Like, I'd be getting done with the show at 2 in the morning and on my way home ending my night. And I would call my mom before she passed away, who was just starting her day and getting on the bus at 5 o'clock in the morning, getting ready to go to work as a nurse because she took public transportation in New York, because everybody does. So it's weird. I'm driving home at 2 and I'm like, yeah, I'm whipped after that show. My mom was like, "Hey, how'd the show go? I'm ready. I'm up for my day. I got my coffee. Yeah, I'm ready to go." It was just so weird, to have those kinds of phone calls. And to end with this, I'm like, I talked to a guy all the way home. And
well, here, let me give out your number now.
No, I'm
somewhere
not
in there is the are the numbers 53.
Yeah. No, you know who did that and learned his lesson was Akbar Bajabiamila.
I remember that.
Yeah,
yes,
he did that. Yeah, he thought he was doing a funny thing on NFL Network. He goes, "Yeah, you want to come fight me for my fantasy advice? Here's my number." And they bleeped out his mouth, and I said, "Dude, I can tell what your phone number." He goes, "No, you can't." I go, "Is it blank 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 blank?" Yeah, I go, "You're going to get phone calls." He goes, "No, I'm not. I'm not going to get phone calls." Sure enough, like later on, he comes out of a meeting and goes, "Oh, man, I got like 8 calls already. How long is it going on?" I go, "Just went on, buddy. It just went on. I just saw you give the phone number up and they tried to cover your mouth up." He had 8 phone calls in like the first 30 seconds that he said, "Call me at this number," because people dial in the numbers to call him to talk to him. Oh, that was great.
Hey, that was the lawyer an agent. Is he Akbar's agent? Because that guy's got a lot of run now.
No,
I could use
no,
some TV
so.
Hustle. We could use a TV show, too.
Yeah, no, I don't know what kind of lawyer he was, because I have his card somewhere still, I think.
Sweet.
But I don't know where he's a lawyer now.
Well, we're just trying to get some aggressive expansion.
I haven't had a chance to call him, so that's, that's good, I think, for me.
Call the guy back at 2 a.m. today, like old times.
"Hey, remember 10 years ago I talked to you? Listen, dude, I am in trouble. Listen, I woke up, and there's blood all over me, okay? And I don't know where it came
whoa,
from.
Whoa,
There's no bodies anywhere. I'm running out. I'm naked in a hallway, and I don't know what to do. I'm wearing a nightgown.
Buddy,
I don't know.
It's too soon after we commemorated all of the comic stylings of Norm MacDonald yesterday for you to start running that kind of line about while calling a lawyer. You got to listen to the whole show. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your audio.
I really need your help. I need it. I need your help right now.
Remember the thing with the guy in the place? Well,
send a car, come pick me up right now. Send a
prank
right
call.
Now.
Prank call.
I need
call.
You to come pick me up. Oh, yeah. Just look. The whole day was weird. The whole night was weird. Today was weird. And the other, another part of this was that this is something that my wife and I remember. Still, I mean, even though it's 10 years, remember a lot. I remember the last words I said on the show. I didn't know what I was going to say that night. I didn't know how I was going to say things, what I was going to say. I had no idea.
But don't blank yourself, San Diego.
I didn't know what I was. I didn't know all of this. And, my wife and I would talk about this. And today we're talking about it in the car. We pick up Zoe from school and she's looking at us. And I'm like, "You have absolutely no memory of this. You have absolutely no, everything you're hearing is like, this happened and this happened." Like, Yeah. No memory of that. And it's very strange because any time something like that comes up where, "Oh, this happened before you were born," I could tell you a story about it. But it just didn't hit me that, oh, yeah, you really don't remember that at all. You remember any part of that, about that being our lives and everything else and all of that. And it's another really strange thing. And you think about 10 years gone and the places I've been and where I've gone. And, look, NFL Network was both good and bad. I definitely learned some professional lessons there about how to never underestimate people in the workplace.
Yes.
And that was a big thing. But again, I'm glad I did it. It was a lot of fun, and I wanted to do TV and be a host, and I did. I was
dude.
Glad
it's
to go
the
there.
Hunger Games, man.
Yeah, it's I want certain things I want to do, and you know, it was a good thing. It was good to go to DirecTV and do it as well. It was fun. Again, it was really good. Some things that weren't so fun, but again, I'm glad I did it. And this journey with you, the last 7 years being here, I can't believe it. And now it's I've been here longer than I did all night, and it's been I just can't believe certain things that happen seem like it's so long ago. But I go, no, you and I talked about that. Oh, remember when we talked about this 5 years ago? It's like, oh my God, yes. And it seems like it's yesterday. Remember when this happened? This was 7 years ago. Yes, we were on the air doing this. And I realized that a lot of the memories that we talk about now on the show are memories that you and I have together because we've been together that long.
Yeah, it's been a pretty crazy run, and you know, we're nowhere near our half-life, hopefully, here at Fox Sports Radio.
Did you say
Hopefully.
You just said hopefully? You said
I might have.
I think you said hopefully.
Well, you know what? I was taking a lesson from you of conflating words.
Okay,
that
that's
and I that and I needed to swallow, and I tried to fight through it, and it was a bad idea. So, you know, you get tongue-tied.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, not with words like that coming into the language. Or I'll create my own language. Look, everything that gets misspoken in the English language eventually gets added to a dictionary anyway. So maybe I can make that happen and go viral and make it part of the colloquialisms that we have here in our world. But no, I mean, it's been a really crazy run, but I'm hopefully you and I are here long enough to see, you know, the thirds pop up. Because we've had the juniors from the guys we watched as kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So now we'll need Vlad Guerrero's kid to come up. And as soon as he makes it to the major leagues, then I'll tap out.
I'm telling you, I think it's a pretty – I'm going to go to the last Bobby Bonilla day. The day after Bobby Bonilla – the last Bobby Bonilla day be my last day where I think that's a pretty good time to say, okay, I'm done now.
And just like the Mets are through paying Bobby Bonilla, I'm through with this. I'll see you all in hell. I'm Jason Smith.
Now, look, again, like I said a few minutes ago, I didn't know what I was going to talk about on the last show, didn't know all that. Had no idea we were going to talk about this tonight as well. But then again, baseball is a game that continually surprises you. Tonight during the Yankees-Orioles game, it looked like it was going to rain. And the grounds crew looked like they were ready to roll the tarp on the field, you know, at any moment. Except then they got thrown out of the game. Take a listen.
Somebody's out. Go. An emphatic go.
Oh no.
No, he wants
they're telling him to get lost. They're behind the tarp.
I've never seen the ground crew thrown out of a game.
Wow.
Orioles Radio Network on the call. Yes, the third base umpire ejected the Orioles grounds crew from the game. They were all standing behind the tarp. The umpire goes out, and he throws them all out like seven times. He's going, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. And I'm like, is he throwing the grounds crew? What are they doing? And then you see 15 guys just run out of the stadium. The grounds crew got thrown out of the game.
Now, it's clear they were directed to be there. There was rain, and it started raining right after they got thrown off the sides, right? Because they were lined up behind the tarp, and he just goes, and he's emphatic about it. Like, I wish we had a microphone on the ump to hear exactly what the hell he was saying to kick them out, because I don't think they were sitting there razzing him. Or having, I think they were just there, and well, ended up being, he runs them.
Look, it was a situation in which it was the top of the ninth inning. The Yankees were losing by a run, but they had second and third and one out. And I wonder if he was throwing them out because they were about to roll the tarp on the field. No, no, we're playing this game. And so I'm going to throw you out.
It.
So was it an official throw out or was this, hey, get off the field?
But still, I think it was more a get out the field. Either way, it's just funny.
You're gone, like, man. He's throwing
well, because you see them all start running. It's not like a slow walk like, wow, this is really bad. This is like it's like run in, get behind the tarp, and then he runs them, and they sprint right back out into the right field corner. It's like, wow, that was weird. It's like they came out of the cornfield in the Field of Dreams.
And they went so fast. Like, I would have done the walk-off. I was getting thrown out.
Oh, you got to be
like
Cadillac-ing it.
I'd have stopped. I'd have threw my hat down and kicked dirt and walked off and put my hands up so the fans could all cheer.
Oh, you wanted to do a full
this
Weaver.
This is my time of getting out. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I want you to celebrate me. I'm getting thrown out of the game here. Yeah, this is what I'm doing. No, if you're going to throw me out, I'm going to do that. But these guys, we got to go, man. This guy just threw us out of the game. We all got to go. And he throws them all out. And they all leave the field. I've never seen that. I've never seen the grounds crew getting thrown out of a game or being told to leave the field in an orderly manner, I guess is how you would say it from the third base umpire.
Yeah, but see, now they have a story forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? In addition to being able to roll out the tarp, which, let's face it, is actually harder to keep in sync than it looks.
Why'd you get thrown out of the game? Because I was going to roll the tarp on the field. Isn't that your job? Yes, and that's what's crazy about it.
We might have been looking to do it prematurely as a stall tactic.
Like Nathan Jessup, I did my job by do it again. That's my job is to roll that tarp on the field. Who's
it was like icing the kicker. It stopped the action for a minute so everybody could catch their breath.
Who's going to roll that tarp on the field? You, Lieutenant Weinberg. Who's going to do it? And get thrown out. We're not putting the tarp on this field. Just go. Go, go, go. You're all gone. Hey, Orioles baseball, man. Orioles baseball. Twitter at @AlbataFresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harvey. I've never seen something like that. And yes, the Yankees did go on to win the game. They did get two in the top of the ninth to win this 4-3 over the Orioles. So maybe you could say the umpire froze the Orioles pitching staff. They were ready to go, but he froze the pitching staff throwing them out. Hey, I got out of my comfort zone. When I was rolling. I was okay with two on and one out. And then he stops and he throws the guys out of the game. I don't know what to do there. I really, it happened. You're gone. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, straight ahead, yes, we will get into the popularity of the NFL. Everything is on the line tomorrow night. Why? We'll tell you. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon.
Yo!
When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop, because trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. Well, tomorrow is going to be a real test in the NFL's popularity, right? We had 25 million people watch the Cowboys and the Bucks. Oh, my God, so exciting. We had 15 million people on Monday night watch the Ravens and the Raiders, and tomorrow night we have the Washington football team and the New York Giants. Ooh, that's going to be what they call a tough sell in the big world of sports. Look, you'll know that the new jump in NFL ratings, which we've seen, which across the board, they were up 7% over the first week. Look, NFL ratings are back up. There's no way you can cut it. Obviously, not every game is going to be made for 25 or 15 million viewers, but tomorrow night, Washington and the Giants. Oh, boy, the Giants have no sexiness, and neither does Washington. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick would bring you a modicum of it, but he's out. So how many times can you sit back and say, Chase Young may be the next great defensive player in the National Football League. He may be the next Aaron Donald in the NFL. You're not going to be able to do that. It's going to be a real test of the NFL's popularity to make Washington and the Giants happen in a Gretchen Wieners fetch style.
Yeah, this one's going to be look, NFL, it's only week 2, so there's still excitement in every one of these cities. Yeah, there are a couple of teams that maybe you're wringing your hands going, this is going to be a long 17 weeks. And maybe the Giants are one of them. I'm not sure. I still think there's some pieces of it to like. I like what I saw from Daniel Jones and Shepard, right? They had a nice connection. But Saquon Barkley isn't healthy. You're not expecting to see a ton of him. Gibson, at least for Washington, was back at practice. Taylor Heinicke could be interesting, right? The mobility and some of the darts he's able to throw, make some plays with his legs. Terry McLaurin's a stud. Logan Thomas should have some success. So there's some potential there for your gambling and fantasy purposes. Maybe a little daily fantasy contest. Get your appetites whetted for week two. I don't know. But it's football, and I celebrate all 272, baby. And this is just week two. So we've got to keep the momentum going. We got to keep the positivity and hope that we get some chaos. Look, Monday night's game. Look, we were looking for the Ravens to have some sizzle. We don't know what we're getting from the Raiders. They've got a bunch of guys now injured and problems abound. But we're looking at Allegiant Stadium. You had the Manning cast, right? The 800,000 people that watched that. So, but was there the same buzz? No, it's Monday Night Football game. But was there the same juice for that? No, but we celebrated it because it is a standalone event. Just like this is. There's no other games except some college stuff that maybe you will or won't tune in or bet or whatever you're doing. It's the NFL. It still rules. Make sure you set those lineups, kids.
If I'm looking at this game, I really find a tough time seeing Washington losing, right? Because the Giants stink, right? They stink, right? We already know we're not going to get Saquon Barkley at full strength if we get him at all. How many carries is he really going to have? And we'll get more. We have a lot more on Saquon Barkley planned for tomorrow night's show, but the offense is not good. Evan Engram's already out. Daniel Jones is what he is. And Washington, are they going to struggle offensively? Probably. You know, Gibson's, you know, going to play, but, you know, what are you going to get? Now you have Heinicke taking over at quarterback. But Washington's defense should carry the day. All right. Now, the loss to the Chargers on Sunday isn't so much about how, well, boy, maybe the Washington defense isn't as good. Justin Herbert's the real thing, man. I mean, he had some kind of game. It's why I picked them as my upset special last week, because Justin Herbert's that good. He was going to make enough plays offensively, and still the Chargers left a lot of offense on the field in that game. You know, they had one pass go off a receiver's helmet that should have been a completion. He had so many different chances to move the ball down the field even more, and they didn't, but still the Chargers did enough. The Chargers are a really good football team, man, and I would not be surprised if they won the AFC West this year. I told you how the Chiefs may struggle. If their defense isn't any good, they're going to rely on Mahomes to win shootouts week after week, and that's probably not going to be a team that wins 12 or 13 games. So I would not be surprised in that. Now, you'll probably see the market correction for Washington after tomorrow night and go, oh, okay, this was a dominant effort by the defense, and yes, okay, I'm believing in Washington as far as, hey, their defense can win games and they can challenge in the NFC East because of that defense. So I'm making my pick. I'm laying in the 3.5 points, not an official upset special or a lay double the points pick, but in picking the game for tomorrow, I'm taking Washington and I am giving 3.5 to the Giants very easily.
Yeah, I think I'm lining up with you here. The cautionary tale of it all is just what the Washington offense is, but I don't think the Giants defense is necessarily very good. We watch them get pummeled by two gloves. So you've got that going for you. When we look at it, for the defensive side, you mentioned the Chargers, to analyze them for a minute. You've got the quick strike, so any mistake Herbert and company can take care of, and that offensive line's better. It just is. And it's not trying to promote Northwestern, which I will do at every turn. And the fact that Slater wasn't even on the list of rookies of the week candidates is just stupid. What, just because he doesn't play quarterback or running back? It's like, whoever's selecting those, you people suck. Learn your job. The guy had a perfect game and wasn't included on the list. He manhandled Chase Young and wasn't included on the list. But if that offensive line can stay healthy, and you know how I feel about Derwin James. I've been preaching this for the last couple of years. That defense runs so well when he's out there in the middle of the field and helping direct traffic. And when he's been injured, it's really lost. And obviously it's a different squad, different mentality, right? Anthony Lynn, there was a lot of good things. They played a lot of close games. But you know what? They lost a lot of close games. And this was another one. And what happened? They came out on the other side of it. And they got the first win. And that offense will only get better as they get more reps. And Austin Eckler is on that side of the ball behind that line. He's going to be the linchpin of it all. Right. If he's not healthy, I don't know. I like Roundtree and Jackson and they have their space, but they're not lead guys. So we'll see how that flows. But certainly a team to watch and on the come for tomorrow's game. Yeah, Washington gets right. That defense got embarrassed at times, especially that defensive line. I think they take out some of that aggression early on. And Daniel Jones, who's known to put it on the carpet, should be giving Taylor Heinicke a couple of short fields.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up in 90 seconds, evidence that one of us is an absolute lunatic. And here's a hint. It's not me. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody's getting ready for their week in fantasy. And you've heard Mike and I talk about the guillotine league that we're doing in fantasy. And I can't tell you how much fun this is, right? For someone who's been doing fantasy for 25 years now, and Mike, you've been doing fantasy for about the same amount of time, both for fun and professionally, right? We've done that for a living. And I didn't think there'd be any way. I feel like the old Elaine line from Seinfeld. Hey, enjoy the stuffed crust pizza, because believe you me, it's going to be a long time before a company can figure out a way to jam more cheese in a pizza. enjoy fantasy, because who's going to come up with something new? But the guillotine leagues is so incredibly interesting. All you have to do is not finish last in points. And every week, the person who gets eliminated, their players go back out. You bid on them as free agents. You got to figure out how much money to bid, the process. It's so amazingly and incredibly exciting. I can't even tell you. So after week one, Mike and I are talking to each other going, I've never done this before. Like, we each have $1,000 to spend on free agents. And because these guillotine leagues are like 16, 17 teams, I think we're 18 teams, right, in this league? Or 18 teams?
Yeah, well, it's 18, right? So one's eliminated every week of the season to leave one team standing.
Right, and well, the way they do it is the top four teams the last 2 weeks do it. It's just a weird different way to do it. But anyway, it's 18 teams, so there's not a lot of players out there, even in normal free agency. So the players everybody's going after are the players that wind up getting free from the eliminated team. So Mike and I are talking to each other, and we're saying, how much money do you want to bid on? I go, I don't know. I mean, Josh Allen's out there, but how much do you bid on him? Because we each have $1,000 to spend for the entire season. So I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to bid on Josh Allen because I was going to bid on a running back and a wide receiver. And I'm like, I don't know. I go, Josh Allen will go for a lot of money. And I said, I'm going to bid on Jamar Chase, and I'm going to go probably a couple $100 on Jamar Chase because, it could be great. Same thing with Justin Jefferson because he was out there. So I put in my bids and everything else. I'm like, all right, great. And I wake up today and I see I got nobody. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I didn't know if I was getting anybody or not. I didn't know what it was. And I look and I see, okay, this is people spending a lot of money for the big players each week. All right, I got to go a little bit big. And then I look and I see who spent the most money.
Yep.
And I look down and I see Mike Harmon, of the $1,000 that he had to spend all season long, is now down to $43 for the rest of the season. You bid on everybody, bid high, and you got everybody. But now you have no money left for the rest of the season.
Well, but there's two schools of thought to it, Jason. I mean, look, if I were to go home next week, right? Like, my guys have a bad week. Like Justin Herbert, right? He was great. He had one touchdown. So for fantasy purposes, he was a jag. Right? And you go down the line. I had a couple of players who projected well who didn't. So my total was only, about 2 points higher and some change higher than the guy that was second to last. And then one guy who we were bidding on, Josh Allen and all these stars, Forgot to set a lineup. So bad job by him. But, you know, so as soon as these guys hit the wire, you got obviously the waiver wire darling of the week, Elijah Mitchell, as Raheem Mostert goes out for the year, which is just devastating because in my other leagues, you know, I've already chronicled the losses of Etienne and Dobbins in this one, and I had multiple shares in the Ravens running back situation, Gus Edwards, so, and now Mostert. So, like, pretty much any guy I drafted that was a running back, you're done. I should start sending condolence cards right now. Look, I don't know when Final Destination is happening to you, my friend, but by week 17 of this NFL season, the fickle hand that of being drafted by me is coming for you. But so, like, my philosophy with this, and I told you, was, you know, you play defense to a degree, right, where I've done this for years towards the end of seasons where you look at situations and guys that might be a little bit of a lottery ticket based on playoff matchups or whatever else, you start playing defense against your opponents. And that's kind of the thought here was, all right, even if I didn't, if I win all these guys, and obviously I can't play them all because I already had Herbert and now I have Josh Allen, they're not in another lineup to beat me on a big week, at least for this moment. And barring, again, the fickle hands of the fantasy gods smiting me with a bunch more injuries, that I've now got a roster that, save one or two spots, I shouldn't need to rotate out any further. But yes, I had no idea what the limits were. Because to put by comparison, a couple of other industry leagues that I was in, Elijah Mitchell cost someone the entire budget, right? You got $100, they spent $100. In another one, man, somebody spent 82 of their $100. So by comparison, I got him for a steal at like 350. The thing that kicks you in the teeth here is that it shows you what the next highest bid was, and that's what ticks me off. Yeah, right? When you see, wow, I didn't need to. Like, I probably could have spent half the money that I did and still gotten four of the five guys.
Right, but you didn't know.
You have no idea.
It's like, what do I do? I don't know what I do.
Right, because you're looking at it going, I need a roster good enough to avoid just the disastrous week. And week one, survive and advance. But you don't know how long you're there for, right? And so it's like, all right, I went all in now, which means if I'm lost, you guys will have a feeding frenzy next week or next week. You know, I just sit out and let other people have their fun, you know?
So there it is. Two different ways to look at the bidding process in a guillotine league.
Well, you thought you were going high, and you weren't high enough.
No, I got all my money and no players. Harmon's got no money and all the players.
Right. So right now, I think I can put out a pretty stellar lineup. The running back position is still just a mess when you're dealing with an 18-team league. That is... There's just nothing you're going to be able to do there unless you're just lucky and the injury bug hasn't found you yet.
Man. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Coming up next, is Urban Meyer really not going to USC? Plus, one superstar in the NFL who has become just a guy. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. before we get to Urban Meyer, listen, evidence that, you know, two big stories out of the NFL to close the show with here tonight. Odell Beckham Jr. is now officially a Jag. He is just a guy. Today we find out that he's not going to be able to play in week two for the Browns. They got a big matchup coming up this week. Hopefully get in the win column. They should do pretty well. But Odell's not going to play, and it wasn't a setback. He's just not playing. He put out a cryptic tweet citing lyrics from Drake about telling secrets and being able to be upfront about things. And, oh, here's another cryptic thing from Odell Beckham Jr. And this entire storyline today was just met with a shrug. It was a transaction line. Yeah. Odell's not playing on Sunday. All right, Odell Beckham is just a guy. This is how far he has fallen from being the white-hot superstar that no matter what he did on the field or off the field, we talked about it. Everybody talked about it. What did Odell do on Sunday? Did he have a big game? Did he have any drops? Did he try to marry a kicking net? What did he try to do? All these things. Odell Beckham was that guy. But he has fallen so far, he is no longer a star in the NFL. All right? Because his story was a shrug. Since he got to Cleveland, what are the stories that we've had? He wore a watch on the field. Oh, he wore a watch on the field. Big deal. This one we thought Odell Beckham was going to be really good. But he's not. He has had declining returns. He's not had the stats. And he's been injured. He's had core muscle surgery. He's had a torn ACL. All of this amidst declining numbers. Even the stories of where he got fined for wearing the Joker cleats. You know, he punched Marlon Humphrey, during a game. None of that is really making the headlines that it used to, because Odell is just a guy. You look at his numbers, and he hasn't been great since 2016. All right, that's the it's the Cam Newton of this year. Boy, here comes Odell. Odell hasn't been good in 5 years. Cam Newton wasn't good in 5 years, but because the Patriots get him, and here's a highlight of what he looked like in his heyday in Carolina. It was, oh man, Patriots getting this guy. Watch out, they're going to the Super Bowl. No,
well, Cam I would have liked to seen him without COVID interrupting last year. I don't know what it would have been, but it would have at least been interesting. Throwing motion was still a problem, but yeah, you're not throwing time back. Yes,
no, and he gets cut, and he's probably not going to play again in the NFL. Odell is at that point. Look, Odell, the last thing he was good was 5 years ago. And now he's someone that's just taking up a lot of money on the Browns' payroll. And, yeah, does he make them better when he's out there? Sure, because you have to account for him on the field. But without him last year, they did pretty well. Baker Mayfield didn't have to worry about getting the ball early in the game to keep him interested. So now it's just a bunch of money they can't wait to get out of. He's gone from being a star that we couldn't get enough of. He's polarizer on either side of him. And now he's just a guy. When there's a headline, it's a shrug and we move on.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, right? But time comes for everybody. We always talk about father time. In this case, still probably a viable number three, maybe a number four for a team if he's willing to take on that role and can stay healthy enough to do it. Look, last week he was supposed to get on the field, ends up not being able to last minute. So one of those that kind of kicks you in the teeth, and what was a plus matchup if you were looking for, you know, one of those deep fantasy kind of plays. But when you get down to it, they're built for the run game. They're built for Jarvis Landry to make some plays and to just not turn the ball over, right? That's it. Strong defensive front and Baker to not make mistakes. So, yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. was a fun run. We'll think of all those highlight reel catches. And hopefully he finds a space. Maybe he can get healthy and be an impact player for the Browns at some point this year. But the fact that they decided on a Wednesday to say, you know what, we're not even taking this up to the end of the week. He's out. Yeah. Says a lot.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Meanwhile, Urban Meyer today decided, okay, I kind of have to talk to the media, even though my advanced conversation with the Denver media is not going to happen, in which he said he is not going to go to USC, not taking the USC job. Now, if you think that puts an end to it, remember, Nick Saban said, fellas, I'm not going to Alabama. I'm not leaving the Dolphins for Alabama, right before he left the Dolphins for Alabama. Now, as I said yesterday, I still am doubling down. Urban Meyer leaves the Jaguars before the season's over, because it doesn't mean that Urban's got to, now that USC maybe is off the table, because I don't know if USC really wanted to hire him. Because if they really wanted to hire him, they probably would have done it last year when he's coming off, or coming off 2020. We're getting out of all the scandalous things, and they've had it with Clay Helton. Probably would have had a chance to do it, so maybe he's not on their radar screen as much. And they look, we hear they want to hire James Franklin, some other guys that are out there. But this keeps getting bad. Yeah, Urban Meyer's that walk-away guy that I need time to be away, and then 3 weeks later, maybe he takes the head coaching job at Texas, or he's somewhere else. But making it the whole season, remember, 1 week with Urban Meyer is like 5 months for everybody else. And if this doesn't get better, do you really think he sees out the whole season? No, even though he said he's not going to USC, I'm still sticking with what I said last night. If you gave me the over-under of after this year leaving or before the end of this year, I'll take before the end of this year. I'll take that he's Bobby Petrino 2.0.
Look at you. I'll still take the over and that he gets to the end of the year, because I think there are better days ahead for the offense. They obviously need to fix that offensive line, but there are weapons to make for better days. But certainly the negative headlines have piled up upon him, and I just don't think USC is where he ends up. If he goes back, it's going to be a different school.
Yeah, and look, it doesn't need to be there, but it's clearly he has had no honeymoon days, you know, and things aren't going to get better suddenly with all the mistakes they had. And now here you are looking at, hey, we could be 0-2, 0-3, 0-4. Yeah. They're now the favorites to pick first again.
I know, buddy. Really I'm building a spreadsheet with all the gaffes, though, so as soon as it's in final, I can publish it.
And remember, anybody with a big ego, if they leave before the end of the season, can say, well, it just didn't work, but I wasn't there for the end. Where if I stay all the way through in my head, oh, it's all on me. This whole season's on me. Watch, I'm still taking Urban Meyer before the season ends. Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Malley. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio. Metsio.